All right, it's that time again. Dear listeners to Living the Good Life, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am always thrilled to be in this chair every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, unless I'm out of town. I love to do this show, and along with me today is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, the best associate pastor in the whole wide world. I'm telling you that right now, and it's the truth. And we have Shell calling in from our radio team right now. Shell, is that you?
Hello. Hey, Pastor Marcia.
Hey, so glad you're with us today. And, you know, I'm looking forward to an absolutely amazing show today. And one of the reasons is because it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we have those hard weeks, we know the devil's, you know, kind of pushing us and giving us difficulties, little things that just get, you know, blown out of proportion or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know that God's got some rich things in store for this Sunday show. It happens all the time. I can say that from experience because I wish I knew how to do the drum roll here in the control room, but I don't know how to do it. All right, so we'll do the ring. Okay, the ring will work. That's Pastor Jim on the bell. Because I have seen God do this so many times through almost now 10 years on the air with this show. And I tell you, sometimes the devil beats us up, but we get here and we do it, and we do the show faithfully and enthusiastically and consistently. And that's all good, Shell, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to beat us up, but the whole point is to keep on getting up, you know?
That's exactly right. Just keep
on.
Perseverance, absolutely.
And we're in the race.
We're in the race. Yes, in fact, some of my dear nephews and nieces and grandnieces and nephews ran in the Gasparilla this weekend. Jason
awesome.
And Noel's family, and they all did so great and had such a great time. And I love to see those Facebook pictures of Gasparilla and the kids running and doing a family thing. It's just really cool. And that happened this weekend. And Pastor Jim is in the studio in there. I see you through the glass, and I can we kind of communicate with hand signals, don't we?
There we go.
And Shell is at
hey,
home.
PJ.
Hey Shell.
And how you doing?
Good, yourself?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, isn't it great? You two are amazing. And, you know, we are so blessed, Shell and Pastor Jim, to have the radio team we have now, because we've expanded it in the last few months to include Shell and Dr. Angel, who is part of it now, and Andrea from Texas, going to hopefully be on again soon. So we are like nine, and that's really cool. And that's probably the biggest radio team we've ever had, isn't it, PJ?
I think so.
Yeah, in all these years.
We're a motley crew. We got everybody with different backgrounds, and yeah, together we make a great team, I think.
I agree with you, Shell. And, you know, because everybody comes from different backgrounds. You're a nurse's training. You're actually an English professor also. And, yeah.
Ex-English professor.
Yes, ex-English professor, but you were. And you just chose a new career, and nurse's training's coming along great, isn't it?
Definitely. God willing, I'm going to make it.
Yes, of course you will. Of course you will. Yes. And you've been through a lot, and I know you had a couple surgeries in the last few months, and God sustained you with all that, didn't he?
He sure did. He did, and with the help of prayers from you guys.
Sure.
Prayers and numbers.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? That's right. And because we all go through those life situations that are so difficult, and yet when we have each other, Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that? Just the camaraderie of unity is amazing, don't you think?
Exactly, and I'm sure that's why the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It is so important to be in contact with each other and share our struggles, share our hurts, share our victories.
Right.
Because we're part of one body.
Right.
And we can't just go walking off by ourselves, because that would be like a finger walking off by itself. It's no good no good to itself or
that's,
the body.
That's
at
weird.
That point.
That's a weird concept.
I know, but You know,
right.
If a body part decides to walk away from the body, it's right. No good to either.
Right. And it is important that you stay. And folks, you may be a part of a local assembly or you may not. And we know we have listeners that are not a part of a local body of believers. That's okay. You can be a part of our team here at Beacon of Hope. And we do have a lot of listeners that faithfully or as many Sundays as they can each month listen to these shows. And we're so glad that you do. Shell, do you want to say anything more about that, the importance of listening to the Word, etc.?
Oh, I was just going to say that's exactly right. God wants us to be in the Word every day. You know, a lot of us start our day that way and end it that way in Scripture. But he also wants us to, you know, come together and share our problems with each other and pray for each other and just come together. He didn't put us here to be alone.
Amen. Amen.
I think that's why I miss Bible study so much, but I catch you on Facebook, so.
All right. I know.
And better than nothing.
Yeah, that's right. And you have a Wednesday night class right now. It keeps you
yes.
from coming. But I'll tell you, the Wednesday night Facebook, which we'll talk more about, I think this week will be number 8 that we've done. I think. I have to go back and look at my calendar. The first one was January 8th, so I think that's about right.
Hey, I watch it, and it's like I just drank a V8.
Really?
It energizes me. You know, it's a small snippet.
Yes.
It's not very long, but it's very to the point and very applicable. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, we love doing it, don't we, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Every Wednesday night, right at 7:30 on Facebook. Is this the 8th coming up or the 9th?
You're trying to count in your head. Let me just get my calendar on
All
my
right,
phone.
All right, that's okay.
It'll be the
8th, okay. And, you know, the good thing about it, it's only about 15 minutes long, but we're seeing hundreds of people watch these each week and really good comments. And you know, a lot of times for people who can't get to church or can't, you know, renew themselves spiritually, it's kind of a boost for them, isn't it, Shell?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I mean, there's so many people for various reasons, you know, who just can't physically be there because it's either too far or maybe they're disabled or they don't have transportation.
Right.
But whatever the reason, Facebook is awesome because most anyone these days has a phone and can get on there, and it's a great way to
right.
see everyone, you know, catch up with people, say hi, and also listen to the Word.
Absolutely.
You deliver.
And you can actually send me a friend request, or you can go to our Beacon of Hope Ministries page, and all of the posts are there, right, Pastor
yes.
Jim? Okay. And we're the ones that have a lighthouse that has a lot of colors in it, because there's other beacon of hopes, correct? Beacons of Hopes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you Google it, a lot of Beacon of Hope churches come up.
Yeah, they do.
Right. So look for the lighthouse and the colors.
Right. We're the only one incorporated in the state of Florida, Beacon of Hope Ministries, Inc., but there are others around the world. So
look for the rainbow.
Look for the rainbow, yeah, because we want to include everyone. So we're going to start right off talking about the importance of the Word of God. We are going to start out with Word of God Speak, and that just... I love this song. Listen to it. It's going to just encourage you today.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your God speak. I'm finding myself in the middle.
God, word of God, speak. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we declare this. Word of God, speak to us today. Let us see truths in your word that maybe we've not seen before or we need to be reminded of. Let us have a better picture of you today and all that you do in our lives on an individual basis every day. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. And that's what we're going to do today on this show. Thank you for every listener scattered around the globe, every single one who listens today live or later on. Lord, would you bless every single heart and let them receive the truth that you would have for them to receive today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 5. And we have been in 2 Kings for a while, actually since the beginning of this year. And we are actually about 9 weeks into this series, Going the Distance. I think we've just about gone the distance with the series, Going the Distance. But every time I think that, Pastor Jim, then God says, no, I want to take you to this place in 2 Kings.
And there's still plenty of chapters left we haven't gotten to.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder how long this series can go on, Shell. What do you think?
Well, the race is forever, so we're done.
So we're going the distance. Right. And you know, the prophet is Elisha that we're talking about here. He was the kind of the understudy of Elijah. And the way I remember that is J comes before S in the alphabet. Elijah came before Elisha. And Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had on him. And Elijah said, if you see me when I am going from you, that will happen. And that was last week's show. And if you missed it, you got to go to the podcast here. At the end of each month, our webmaster puts all the shows on our website, bohmglobal.com. In the meantime, like in the middle of the month, go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, go to Living the Good Life, and it's right there, last week's show. Usually our shows are up within an hour after the show. You can go to both our Thursday night Go Yard show within an hour and the same for Living the Good Life, because we have engineers that come in after me and put them up for us. So we thank them for doing that. Pete on Sunday and Bobby on Thursday. So that's a good thing. So anyway, with all that said, we are in 2 Kings 5. And we are talking about a very interesting story today in our series, Going the Distance. And Elisha is involved again. The story begins in verse 1 with a man named Naaman. And Naaman was a general of the army under the king of Aram. And PJ, do you want to start us off with the first three or four verses and and talk about that and who Naaman was and how important he was.
Okay. Well, it says, now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, which at that time would have been, my note here, Ben-Hadad, was a great man with his master and highly respected. So he was in really good standing with the king.
Okay.
Because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. Now, that's always intrigued me because Aram was an enemy of Israel. It was the old Syrian empire.
Yes, yes.
But again, God moves in ways we don't sometimes know or sometimes don't see.
Exactly.
Because God was preparing all of this.
Right.
So he gave, you know, he exalted Naaman to give him, to give himself, God, the glory.
Right.
Because as what happens is we find out, the man was a valiant warrior, Naaman, but he was a leper. So he had to kind of, no matter how great a warrior he was, he still had some sort of skin disease that kept him apart from everybody else.
Right. Because lepers were not allowed to interact with everybody else, right?
Right.
Right.
Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So they raided probably the north end of the nation of Israel, took this little girl as a slave,
right?
And she just happened to be placed with Naaman's wife.
Which, of course, there are no coincidences with God, right?
And so she knew Naaman was a leper, and she says in verse 3 of chapter 5, I wish that my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy.
Whoa. So she, this little girl, had heard about Elisha and all the miracles and had known that there was a God in Israel that could heal, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
And God placed her there in Naaman's household. And we'll find out. I mean, this is just amazing. I mean, Naaman, like, chief general of the armies of Syria.
Right.
And this little girl says, I think you ought to go see the prophet in Samaria and you'll get, you know, get healed.
So with that said, this is no coincidence. This is a God moment. This is an opportunity. We talked Wednesday night on our Facebook post that opportunities are often disguised in problems. We see the problem, we see the hurt or the anger, the pain, whatever it is, and we're missing the opportunity. And here we have a little girl who was probably was in distress because she was kidnapped and left her family, and she was taken to a foreign land, but she ends up by God's guidance in the very home of Naaman, who needed a miracle.
Right, exactly. And she said, I mean, and she was not shy. She said, she told her mistress, Naaman's wife, why didn't he go see the prophet in Samaria?
But see, that is so good. So Shell, let's bring you in here on this, because so often our problems and our obstacles seem overwhelming and we have a hard time looking to see the good or see what God is doing. Do you understand? We have a hard time finding the opportunity in our problems sometimes. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm still focused on God's use of this little girl.
Yeah.
She basically went through hell.
Right.
Yet she was faithful, and it just shows how God uses those who are humble and meek and servile.
Yes.
You know, she was a nobody compared to, you know, Naaman or whatever his name was. Is that
Naaman?
Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she had the sense, and I think it was divine intervention.
Yes.
God spoke to her to bring up the solution, you know?
And, so true. So true. Yeah.
But we are supposed to embrace our problems, you know, our obstacles, because that's the only way that our faith is going to grow, getting back to what you were originally asking.
And that is so true. And so often we keep our eyes I said this Wednesday night on the Facebook post, and it didn't come from me. It's not original with me. Give credit where credit is due. Graham Cook, I read it last week in one of his books, and it says, so he said, so often when we are under real pressure, we either fold or we focus, okay? Which I love that quote. And she did not fold here, even though she was a little servant girl, a actual slave. She had been taken from her family. She didn't fold. She focused on the fact that there was a solution to Naaman's problem. Shell, talk to me about that, and then we'll go to PJ for his opinion on that.
She saw that there was, she had hope.
Right.
She had
yeah.
faith. And,
yeah.
To have leprosy back then was basically a death sentence.
Yeah.
Which is ironic that this guy was a general, a hero, because most lepers, as you said, were separated from the rest of society. You know, they wore black hoods and they were exiled, basically.
Right,
but,
yeah.
She, you know, saw this as an opportunity, I guess, to go to God.
Right.
And spoke up.
She spoke up. Think of the courage that took. Because what if, I mean, our minds would say, well, what if God chose not to heal him? That would be our minds, right, PJ? Or go ahead, Shell, finish your thought. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, I was just thinking, like, if you had, back then, I mean, I'm not sure, maybe PJ could correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were a mere slave and you said something so bold, what was the likelihood that someone of his status, Naaman, would even listen to her,
right.
Number one, and number two, that she had the courage to speak up, because a lot of slaves, if they even said the wrong thing, were struck down or killed.
Right.
And it could
PJ,
be,
answer yeah, that, yeah.
It, yeah, it could be she was maybe more a part of the family. I mean, it still was boldness, no matter what. And the funny thing is, you know, or the interesting thing is, you know, she's the one that said about, oh, why don't you go talk to the prophet? And in verse 4, Naaman goes to the king to get permission to go see the prophet.
Right.
And the king says, oh, you know what? In verse 5, go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. Amazingly, Naaman, who's a Syrian, and Ben-Hadad, who's the king of the Syrians, had more faith in the prophet, in Elisha, than the king of Israel did.
Okay, which brings me to this, all right? Here's what I think. I've been thinking on this. I didn't bring this up Wednesday night. It's just what I've been thinking. I think that this young girl was absolutely, Shell, you named the word, you said the word bold. I think she was full of faith. And I think that the way she presented this is why Naaman had the courage to go and ask to go to Israel. Let me show you what I mean. In the last part of verse 3, she says to her mistress, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed, is what it says in the Message Bible. He would be healed of his skin disease. It doesn't say he might be. If Naaman's a good guy, or if Naaman brought a lot of money, or if, God was in a good mood that day to heal him, she says he would be healed. Address that, PJ.
I think it shows her faith.
I think it shows her faith.
I've got New American Standard, and I'll just read the little footnotey thing. I wish that my master were before the prophet, standing before the prophet,
yeah,
who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of
his
leprosy.
Would. It doesn't say might. And which brings me that I've got to play the song, because I played the song in my car coming here, and I just like, oh my gosh, this is that little girl. So listen to it. It's called Soul on Fire by Third Day. This is a little girl. Come on, let's be like her. Shell, this is a wild song.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. And let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way.
My son Ryan sounds like that guy, and he sings that song, and I love that song. And that's what I believe this little girl was, a soul on fire. She knew God could heal because she said he would be healed. Talk to me, Shell. Did you like that song, Shell?
Yeah, it totally captures that whole theme, you know, where God wants you to be fired up. He wants you to be hungry for him, and he wants you to be obedient toward him, and that's what this little girl was, all those things.
Absolutely, she was. And she said, this is going to happen. Naaman didn't say, are you sure? Well, let me think about it. There's just a confidence in her, PJ, and we need to have... I'm fired up. That song just got to me. I tell you, we
really?
Need... Yeah, I tell you. I'm telling you right now. We need to have this kind of boldness and confidence. Let me pray for you because God wants to touch you. You know, let me give you a word of encouragement right now because God has something he wants you to hear. That should be our attitude, PJ, not just, well, I don't know. Sometimes God wants to do it. Sometimes he doesn't.
Well, absolutely. I mean, amazingly, even more amazing, here's this. First of all, she's a little girl. Secondly, she's all fired up about the God of Israel. And Israel at that time was pretty apostate.
Yeah.
It all pretty much backslid, the nation as a whole. But here's this little girl all on fire for God.
Right, yeah.
And not paying attention to her adversity, not letting that get the best of her.
Right.
Not keeping her eyes on her circumstances. She had her eyes on the Lord. And, you know, she saw that need and she just boldly spoke, look, go see Elisha. He will heal you. You know, go to him and he'll tell you what to do and you'll be healed.
And not he might, but he will.
Exactly. And apparently Naaman took that confidence and believed her because he went to the king to get permission, which of course, as a general, he'd have to do. He couldn't just wander down to Israel with, you know, by himself. And he was so, impressed isn't the right word, but he must have believed what she said because he went to the king. The king granted him permission.
Yeah.
Gave him kind of a letter of introduction to the king of Israel so that there wouldn't be many misunderstandings, even though there, as we find out, there still were. But so her faith impressed this pagan.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It planted a seed, as we'll see that come to fruit later, but it planted a seed of faith within Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, would be the least likely of people you'd think would come to know the God of Israel. But here's something struck him.
Something struck him.
And, you know, he's off to see the prophet.
He's off to see the prophet, but he goes by way of the king of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I find this interesting. So he goes in verse 6 of 2 Kings 5, if you're just now joining us. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, when you get this letter, you'll know that I personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease, is what the king of Aram says to the king of Israel. You heal him. The problem is the king of Aram had the wrong man for the job here, right?
Oh, yeah, please. Joel.
Exactly. And sometimes it's somebody that we least expect. Sometimes it's somebody we least expect that has the answer or the prayer that's going to change the situation.
Right. Well, and I said this on Wednesday night. In those days, kings were looked at as being semi-divine. So,
right.
You know, maybe Ben-Hadad didn't quite get the message right from Naaman. I don't know. But somehow he thought the king of Israel was going to do it. And again, it was a test for the king of Israel, for Jehoram, because it just shows his lack of faith.
His lack. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, he's terrified.
He's upset. He's angry.
Right.
Shell talked to us about this, I think, in verse 7, that the king is so upset because he's suspicious. He's afraid. Talk to me. What do you see there in verse 7, Shell?
Just that, you know, he was paranoid.
Yeah, and paranoid,
also,
yes.
He lacked faith because, I don't know, I guess back then, I mean, I think the superstition still holds that kings could wave their hand or whatever and make, you know,
right.
Make someone okay again or heal them. But he knew he didn't have that power.
Yeah.
And he didn't have faith, so, you know, he took it the wrong way and thought, you know, someone was inciting him to a fight or possibly, you know, attacking him.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it was just he was afraid or he was angry, why he reacted, you know, but it definitely wasn't the response he was looking for.
Right, exactly. But again, he didn't have the ability to heal this guy. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and all Jehoram would have had to have said was, oh, I'm sorry, Ben-Hadad got it wrong. It's not me. He needs to go to the prophet.
Right.
He needs to go see Elisha. Or you need to go
but
see
But he
Elijah.
Doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't do that. He's so blind.
Right.
Granted, he was one of the sons of Ahab and Jezebel, so that explains a lot right there.
Right.
And he'd had this ongoing quarrel with Elisha anyway.
So it
and
didn't,
he doesn't even think
I was gonna
to
say,
send Naaman
do you think
to
he,
the prophet.
It didn't enter his mind that Elisha... The prophet of God could do this? You think it did? Because he doesn't come up with it.
Yeah, I agree with Shaw. He just paranoid. He was so... All he saw was this, oh, he just wants to pick a fight with me so he can invade the land. That's all.
Right.
That's all he was focused on instead of thinking, oh, duh, Elisha could do this. Why don't I just send him off to Elisha?
But it also shows he really had no belief in God, that there could be somebody... that God would use to perform this.
Right.
And I think this is where a lot of people are in our world today, in our nation, is that they don't realize the power of Almighty God and how he can affect our lives and change our circumstances. Talk to me about that, Shell, because that'll preach.
I just think that, we're selfish people and... that, you know, lepers, like, you can look at us metaphorically as lepers, all of us, spiritual zombies, you know, you have people, you have this king,
yeah.
But people today, you know, they drive the fancy cars, they live in the big houses, they have a big bank account, they have a high status job or profile, but they're spiritually dead.
Right.
And it's real simple. You have to have faith or you... think that, I mean, you become arrogant and you think your self-sufficiency is what gets you what you're hoping to achieve, and it's not your doing at all. It's
right.
God's. And
that's very good, because so often, we just don't give God the credit that he deserves for invading our circumstances, invading our space, I like to say, because he does do this, and he does it in ways that also teach us lessons. And I think Naaman, you're going to see here that Naaman learned a very big lesson in life when God invaded his space. And I think that a lot of us need to become more aware in this day and time that we're living in. It's tumultuous in many ways, that God has the ability to move in our lives in amazing ways if we just see that opportunity. Whatever the problem is, okay, let's say it's huge, it's awful, it's terrible, and it's overwhelming, but God wants to show himself strong in your situation. Talk to me about that, Shell, and then we'll go back to PJ on this.
Well, you know, it's, just be careful what you wish for, you know. Sometimes you are anticipating an outcome. You pray for something, and you have it all formulated and planned out in your mind exactly how that prayer is going to be answered. And the whole point is it might come to you, the answer, through a completely different mode or method or solution that you didn't anticipate. And so you got to embrace, you know, embrace it and work with it, and just know that God answered your prayer this way for a reason, because he knows the future, you don't, and he knows that this is going to work out for you.
I totally agree. And I'm going to go back to the 3 points I made on Wednesday night's video that I think fit here perfectly. And some of you may not have written them down, and I think they're very important. They were God-given. I didn't get this out of any book. I never do. This is all the Spirit of the living God. First thing, the question was Wednesday night, when things don't go the way you think they should, or you haven't had the answer that you think you should get, what should you do? And the first thing was be curious. Be curious about what God is going to do, okay? Because he is going to do something in your situation, okay? He may not be the same way you think it should turn out, but he is going to. So number one was be curious. The second was anticipate something good happening, because he is good. And so if we apply those principles right here to Naaman, if I were Naaman, I would have been kind of curious that he ends up at the wrong person for the healing. Even though the little girl was so sure that there was a place, a prophet, a person in Israel that could cure him, I would have been pretty curious if I was Naaman standing there and the king was going, well, it's not me, for heaven's sake. So Naaman says, okay, well, there's an opportunity here for something to happen, because this little girl was so sure, right? So that was the second thing. Anticipate God's going to do something. It's going to be a good result. And the third thing is follow through. And we're going to see what happened with Naaman. And I find those principles God gave me separate of this, but oh, don't they fit right here, PJ? Because even though this was not the opportunity initially, the king of Israel couldn't do anything about Naaman's leprosy. So go ahead with that.
Well, and somehow, Elisha found out what had happened, and you know, he heard what had happened with the king of Israel. So he sent a message, sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.
That's what it was all about, right? Naaman knowing.
So Elisha sent word to the king. I don't know if like a messenger told Elisha or if the Holy Spirit told Elisha, but he knew what had happened. And you know, we have to wonder what Naaman was thinking during this time. Like,
right.
Well, then what am I going to, I traveled all the way here. What am I going to do now?
Right.
And so Naaman gets the message. He goes to see Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends a messenger out. Okay. So that right there is a little different, because here's this great man, you know, in our own humanness, we'd think, oh, you know, the prophet should have gone out to meet him, but he didn't. And there's a purpose behind that, to gauge Naaman's obedience, like you talked about.
Absolutely.
Because the messenger comes out and says, okay, just go down to the Jordan, wash 7 times, dip yourself down 7 times, and you'll be restored. You'll be healed.
Okay, before you go on with Naaman's response to that, Shell, do you have anything to add to that before I play this song?
No, I think he nailed it.
Okay. All right. And we're talking here, and I just have on one of the tracks, a song that just came to me that we need to use right here. And I've been doing that a lot. Have you noticed, PJ? I just let it flow during the show, with come with different music tracks and then see what God wants instead of having it set. I like that. I just let God just do it as we go. You know what I mean?
And as engineer, you can do that.
And as engineer, I can do that, which makes it very nice. So we're going to do new song, Defining Moment. It's Naaman's Defining Moment.
Every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
moment when you really trust him, really trust him, that will be your defining moment. Talk to us, PJ.
Well, and
great song, huh?
Yeah, very. I love that song.
I do too.
Naaman wasn't quite to that point yet.
No.
because he, you know, I love this phrase, he took a great umbrage at having to go wash in the Jordan.
He was mad. He was absolutely.
He was very upset.
Stepped on his pride.
He did, because he said, wait a minute, aren't the rivers of Damascus, you know, so much better than that filthy old muddy Jordan? And his servants, and again, here we go, he must have had some pretty bold servants, because they came with him, so they heard what, you know, the message that the prophet had sent. And I think it's amazing. Here again, his servants are the ones, you know, kind of knocking some sense into him. And they said in verse 13, look, if he'd asked you to do something great, you would have done it. Why not just go dip in the Jordan? It ain't that big of a deal. Because beforehand, Naaman had said, well, I thought he was going to do, like, wave his hands in the name of his God and, you know, like, do some incantation over me and I'd be healed. And again, Naaman, and he wasn't even a believer yet, but he just wanted to put God in a little box.
He wanted the answer he wanted, right?
Well, and he wanted the answer he was conditioned
That's right.
to have seen.
And that's why our Wednesday night Facebook post is exactly right, right? Because when we don't get the answer we think we should, what do we do? And a lot of times we cry and bellyache and we lose faith and we get in doubt and fear and anxiety and we're mad at God. Talk to us, Shell.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're hitting on is that usually when we pray for something, we expect a very specific outcome, something, you know, a pattern we've seen, so we anticipate it. Naaman was expecting, you know, just the wave of a hand, but he was given something just as simple to do. He wasn't told to, like, give up his wealth. He wasn't told to climb some mountain, as some of the other people in the past were told to do, walk through a desert.
Right.
And go through all this red tape. All he had to do was act on faith and just get in the water, you know, and his hesitance right there still shows that, you know, he has not transformed yet into what God wants him to be.
So true. And I am just not shocked. I am so aware that this is a very common human frailty, that we get it in our head the way it should be and how God's going to do it. And we want him to fall in line with our decision.
On our terms, yeah.
Right? Don't you think, Shell?
Definitely. And, you know, he doesn't work that way. That's why we always hear, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And we're used to hearing that, but we don't accept it necessarily.
Right.
And it's not so much mysterious. It's different.
Right.
He doesn't always do the same thing the same way.
Right.
I mean, I made the point on Wednesday. You know, he might lay hands on somebody and somebody else is going to spit in the dirt and make mud and put it on their eyes for them to be healed.
Right.
You know, which is pretty outlandish.
yeah, it is.
But, you know, it's being open to. It's being open to the way God wants to do it.
Yes.
I looked up the verses in Luke chapter 4 after Jesus basically proclaims himself to be the Messiah in the synagogue. Today,
right.
these scriptures have been fulfilled. And he chides them because they said, well, you know, you grew up among us. You're just Joseph's son.
Right.
And Jesus said, look, how many widows were there in Israel during the famine? But who did Elijah go to? The Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman.
Right.
There were many lepers in the land in the time of Elisha, but who did Elisha go to?
Right.
Naaman.
Right.
Because we just figure God has to work the way we want him to,
yeah.
Like Naaman said here. And that can so limit what God can do if we just have it in our heads that you can only heal me in this way. You can only provide for me in this way. You can only save me in this way. You can
right.
only fill me with the Spirit in this way.
Right.
We limit what God can do.
Which takes me right back to point one that we did on the Facebook video this past Wednesday night. And by the way, the hashtag on that, go to Facebook and go to your search bar and put in hashtag, I just lost it, hashtag opportunity knocks. That's what that one is. Opportunity knocks, okay? Hashtag opportunity knocks. But the first point there was when it doesn't go the way you think it should, when God doesn't answer the way, be curious. Because God is going to answer, maybe not in the time, maybe not in the situation the way you think it should be. But when we believe that God is a good God and that he loves us and he has the answer, in other words, if I were Naaman standing there, based on these principles, Naaman should have said, okay, well, I know the little girl was full of conviction. She knew that I'd be healed, so I'm here. Well, it's not going to be the way I thought it was, but whatever you say, I'll go do. That should have been his answer, but it wasn't until those around him cared enough to speak truth into his life.
And again, he had some pretty bold servants because he could have had their throats cut
right.
for speaking up like that.
Right.
And yet they said, look, I love it. You know, just do it. If he asked you to do something great, like Shell had said, climbing a mountain, crossing the desert, you would have done it. Just go dip in the Jordan, for crying out loud.
But it was like he had to give in to that. He had to become humble to do it because it went against his nature.
Mm-hmm.
And our human nature, I think, is pretty prideful. Shell, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think we are proud. We are arrogant, and God hates arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the whole point of him mixing it up as far as answering our prayers is, you know, he wants to keep us on our toes.
Right.
We're supposed to be obedient, but we are stubborn by nature. We're control freaks. And faith mm-hmm. is giving up that control.
Yes.
That we so want.
Yes.
But giving it over to God. And that's a hard thing for most of us to swallow. And that's the whole point. You know, it doesn't matter what your station is in life or who you are. You know, he's a king, and he thinks it's beneath him to get in this dirty water. And all he has to do is just listen. I mean, it's a simple, and, you know, all he has to do is take that. It's his medication to make him better, and he's reluctant the whole way. He fights it the whole way.
He fights it. But you're right. It's the control. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's, I thought it was going to go this way, and it didn't, and now I'm mad because it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And that is just so true of our human nature so often. Oh, my.
It was delayed, too, you know?
It was delayed, also.
He yes. first goes to the king, expects it to be done, but now he's
yes.
like, oh, now I got to go through this. Now I'm given another, you know, order, and I got to go do this.
Well, speak to that, Shell, and then we'll go to PJ on that before we get up here to the top of the hour. About the delays sometimes and how they affect us.
Yeah, it just shows how impatient we are. You know, we want stuff to happen when we want it to happen. And, you know, life is an obstacle course, and you're going to have curveballs, and you're going to have setbacks.
Yeah.
You're going to have joy, and you're going to have sorrow, and you're going to have solutions, and you're going to have problems. But, you know, you got to remember that it's temporary, and as you keep saying, we're supposed to stay focused
yes.
on the prize, the ultimate goal, which is paradise with Christ.
Amen. Woo! Talk to us, PJ, before we get up here.
And we cause those delays ourselves.
Sometimes
like Naaman,
we do.
Like Naaman, I mean, the first delay going to the king was not really Naaman.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't his issue. That was the king's mistake. But even so, it happened for a reason. Naaman caused the second delay by his own arrogance.
Right.
By being unwilling to do what the prophet told him to do. And all he did was delay the blessing.
Right.
He could have been healed a whole lot sooner had he not hemmed and hawed about
That's
it.
That's right. And don't we do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's not that we're not going to get the answer, but a lot of times it's not in the way and it's not in the timing that we think. We are talking more about this in our second hour, and we're going on with this, a fascinating story of Naaman. So if you have some friends out there that you think this might help, call them, and then we've got one more hour on the air. Every Sunday it's a two-hour show. And we started to say this earlier, and we'll go back with it. April 16th is coming up soon. That's Easter Sunday. We call it around here Resurrection Day. And it is not just that day this year for us. It is a huge day for Beacon of Hope Ministries. Right, PJ? It's the 10th anniversary of this show to the day. To the day. And we did not plan it that way. And when we went on the air back in April of 07, April 17th of 07, Connie and Nathan and I, in our first show, it was such a huge step of faith. It was 1 hour. And we'll talk more about that on Anniversary Sunday. And where we've come with this show since has been crazy. All the changes that have happened and all the people that have come through as contributors through these years. It's really a great story. So you need to mark your calendar and join us on Resurrection Day for a great 10-year anniversary celebration. And Pastor Jim, would you talk here about our prayer ministry for a minute till before we do station ID?
Sure. excuse me. Shell and I and Betty from Indiana are kind of the heads of the, you know,
yes.
kind of the leaders of the prayer ministry, which
yes,
we have
you are.
For any of you out there who have a prayer request, please send it in to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Either myself or Shell or Betty will pick up the prayer. We send it out to our prayer team. We all add a prayer to it because we do believe in the power of unified prayer, that God will answer. Just like that little girl, we believe God will answer. And so if you have any requests, no matter how big, how small, we are more than willing to pray for you because we love you. And that's the ministry that God's given us. And we want to pray for you. I mean, it's not just, you know, we want to. We want to see God move in your life. And the only thing we ask is that when God answers your prayer, that you let us know.
Absolutely, because you keep track of all those praise reports.
I do.
And we have so many. Just this week, there were so many dozens, honestly, with all these different people's lives. Just so many amazing answers to prayer, and God gets all the glory and the praise for all of that. Some of you out there may be saying, how do I become part of Beacon of Hope? We want you to become a part of us because this show is heard in several countries. It's heard every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So it'll be played again this Saturday and Sunday. And on Starcom Radio Network, they've expanded now to 55 cities across the United States and several countries. So wherever you are hearing us, live or at a later time,